We're talking the first three episodes of WandaVision, the brand new Godzilla vs. Kong trailer, and a prequel to Willy Wonka, all coming up on Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego. Thank you so much for joining us again for another episode of Live Action Remake. I apologize to anyone who was looking for an episode last week. I planned to, but due to some technical difficulties, I wasn't able to put out an episode last week, but we are back this week. I got all the latest news for the last 2 weeks, so why don't we get started with trailers. There are two major trailers that came out this week. First, Superman and Lois got its first trailer with actual footage from the show. It very much feels like a Man of Steel type of Superman, but this time, of course, it's with Tyler Hoechlin from the Arrowverse. We get a look at this possible main villain who is known as only the Stranger. Many people believe this is a Lex Luthor from another universe, but we don't know. After Crisis on Infinite Earths, Lois and Superman have lost their jobs, and they have two sons who they didn't previously know from the original universe. So they have to deal with the drama of having kids, living back in Smallville, and of course a new villain. It looks a lot darker than the other shows in the Arrowverse. I'm really excited because I love Tyler Hoechlin. You can check out the whole trailer on our page at Live Action Remake on Facebook. Now the second trailer I want to talk about is the one that everyone has been talking about recently, Godzilla vs. Kong. There is finally a look at what this movie is going to be like. It appears that the government, or whoever is in control of this movie, takes King Kong from Skull Island in order to fight Godzilla, because Godzilla is wreaking some kind of havoc. The two go at it. They are the last of the kaiju, or whatever you want to call them, these big monsters. It seems to be a pretty epic battle. Kong is a lot bigger than he was in his movie Skull Island. In that movie, he was just a baby. Now he's about the size of Godzilla, so now it's an actual matchup. There seems to be hints at maybe Mechagodzilla being in this movie. You know, Godzilla has like a vengeance and anger towards King Kong. King Kong has an axe. It looks ridiculous, but in a fun way. I'm pretty excited about this movie. I think it's going to be very much a popcorn, turn your brain off, just enjoy some big battles kind of movie, you know? So it looks good. You see a shot of King Kong doing a slow-mo jump away from a beam, which is a really, like, it's an action movie trope, but it's a gorilla, so it looked kind of funny. I'm excited for these. Let me know what you guys think of them, though. Are you excited for Superman and Lois? Are you excited for Godzilla vs. Kong? Be sure to let me know. Now on to movie news. There have been several different delays. The Many Saints of Newark, the Sopranos prequel, has been pushed to September 24th. Uncharted, Ghostbusters, Cinderella, Peter Rabbit 2, all being pushed back at Sony. Let's see, Morbius has been delayed to January 21st, 2022. That is the first superhero movie to be delayed from 2021. It was set to come out this March. I wasn't excited for it, but it's another delay. And it just got delayed, I think, on my last episode. We announced that Morbius was going to be delayed a couple more months. Now it's being pushed back a whole year. It's crazy. Kevin Smith has confirmed that Clerks 3 is now in the works. That's awesome. Kevin Smith is great. This is a pretty funny one. Assisted Living, starring Cardi B, is a comedy about a crook turned undercover grandma as a heist goes wrong. This is a real headline. This is a real movie coming out. I hear Cardi B was very good in Hustlers. I don't know how good of an actor she is in general. It's a comedy, kind of like a sister act kind of thing, only she's playing an undercover grandma. It's Cardi B. It's a weird idea. But let me know if you're excited about Assisted Living. I just could not talk about it. I just needed to tell someone about this movie that's happening. This is big news. A Willy Wonka prequel titled Wonka is set to premiere March 17th, 2023, about a young Willy Wonka before he creates the chocolate factory. Now, it appears that the two actors for the role that they've been talking about are Tom Holland and Timothy Chalamet, because, of course, there's no other young actors these days. I don't think they should be doing this movie with these two actors. I don't think they fit the roles. If you're going to do another Willy Wonka, which I don't think we need anytime soon, I say you go for a new, different version of the character. Maybe a Jake Gyllenhaal. Maybe a Ryan Gosling. You got to get a heavy hitter. You got to get a good actor who can do comedy, who can do whimsy, but also be a little unhinged. I think Jake Gyllenhaal or Ryan Gosling would be great. Let me know who you think would be your ideal Willy Wonka. It's got to be different from Depp, and it's got to be different from Gene Wilder. You know, I want something a little bit different, you know, a little different style, and I think Jake Gyllenhaal could play that style. But let me know what you guys think. In other big news, Deadline is reporting that Chris Evans is in talks to return to his role as Steve Rogers in the MCU. That's crazy. I didn't really think we'd get more Chris Evans. I'm so happy we are. Chris Evans has played coy about this, saying that this is the first he's heard about it, but Marvel actors always be going back on their articles and stuff like, oh, I don't know anything about this. Playing coy about the contract. So I really think Chris Evans is coming back. I don't think he's going to be our Captain America. I don't even think that he will be young Steve Rogers. I think we may get a little bit of old Steve Rogers, inciting a little bit of wisdom on heroes. I could definitely see him coming back in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Maybe he plays a Skrull in Secret Invasion, or he could just come back in a voice role for What If. I think that's the maximum that we're going to get for Chris Evans. Just these little bits of Captain America here and there, but nothing major. We have a new Captain America. Speaking of which, we got a first look at that new Captain America, Anthony Mackie, in a toy leak for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We get to see him in the classic white, blue, red suit. It's a little bit different from the Captain America that you know, but it looks incredible. It's on a toy. You could see it on our page at Live Action Remake on Instagram or Facebook. I think Anthony Mackie looks fantastic in the suit. It definitely looks like the comic accurate Falcon Captain America. I'm pretty excited about it. We also got a first look at Mortal Kombat. You can also see that on our pages at Live Action Remake on Facebook and Instagram. It looks pretty cool. It reminds me very much of the game. I'm sure you've seen the Steve Harvey memes. Poor Macard Brooks. But the characters look good. Scorpion, Sub-Zero, they're all there. It looks pretty cool. I don't know much about Mortal Kombat, but I'm sure this movie is going to be a lot cooler than the original movie. So we'll see how that one goes. Matt Damon has reportedly been cast in Thor: Love and Thunder. That's a big get. As you know, Matt Damon was also in Thor: Ragnarok as a actor playing Loki. I don't think he's cameoing, because if he was just cameoing again, I don't think they would add him to the cast list or say that he has been cast in the movie. I think he's playing a big character. And if you think big Thor character, there's only one that really comes to mind that they have not talked about in the MCU. I'm talking Beta Ray Bill. I think Matt Damon is going to be playing our version of Beta Ray Bill in the MCU. And if that's true, I'm so excited. Of course, he could play some Asgardian. He could play some other kind of alien. The universe is broad. The Guardians are in this movie, so they could be going into different elements of the Marvel space universe. But I think we're going Beta Ray Bill. They brought Stormbreaker in for a reason. Beta Ray Bill is coming. I think it's Matt Damon. You heard it here first, folks. But let me know what you think. Who do you think Matt Damon is playing in Thor: Love and Thunder? In other casting news, Jim Gaffigan has been casted in Peter Pan and Wendy, the Disney live-action remake of Peter Pan, and he will be playing Mr. Smee. That's a great casting. Jim Gaffigan is hilarious. They always seem to cast side characters pretty well in these live-action remakes. He will be playing Mr. Smee with Jude Law's Captain Hook. I think that could be a fun pairing. Yeah, I definitely see it. Now on to TV news. Ethan Hawke is set to play the main villain opposite Oscar Isaac in Moon Knight. Ethan Hawke, great actor. Loved him ever since I've seen Gattaca. This show seems to be the one that they're putting, like, the heavier hitters in, you know? Like, they're not... I mean, Tatiana Maslany is great, and so is... I don't know much about Iman Vellani. She seems great. But this show seems to be, like, the one where they're throwing in the big names for. So, it's got to be a pretty hardcore show. Insecure is set to end with its upcoming fifth season on HBO. Issa Rae is a fantastic comedic presence. I hear the show is fantastic. My mom really loves it. Sad to see it ending. Titans Season 3 has found its Oracle in Savannah Welch. Savannah Welch will be playing Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. Oracle, who was once Batgirl until an accident with the Joker. You guys may know the origin story of her. Very sad stuff. I'm surprised they're leaning that hard into Oracle and not into Batgirl. Savannah Welch actually is a paraplegic, so that's a pretty cool thing to do, get an actor who actually is in the wheelchair, you know? So that's pretty awesome. I hope she does well. I'm excited to see what they do with Titan Season 3. I already know Red Hood is in it, as is Blackfire. There is rumors that the Joker may even show up. There's no word as to who's casted for that, but this seems like a pretty good casting, so I'm excited to see Barbara Gordon. Speaking of DC, the annual crossover for the Arrowverse has been canceled due to filming complications with COVID. This year's crossover was set to have Superman and Lois, Supergirl and Batwoman, but there has been many complications about this crossover already. It was supposed to be with Ruby Rose's Batwoman, but of course she got written off the show when she left the show, so it's going to be the new Batwoman, Ryan Wilder, played by Javicia Leslie. But we don't know to what extent this crossover was even going to be. My theory was that it was going to be a Batman versus Superman kind of fight with Supergirl and Batwoman mixed into the crosshairs of it all. Because they brought Bruce Wayne back. They have introduced Kryptonite into Batwoman. I assumed this was going to be a Superman versus Batman. We don't know. So the crossover's been canceled. It kind of sucks because that's really where the Arrowverse really has the most fun, is when they do these big crossovers, and this one was going to be smaller than Crisis, but it was still supposed to be a lot of fun. So it's a little disappointing to hear that, but maybe next year we'll get an even bigger crossover, who knows. Peaky Blinders Season 6 will be the final season, as well as a film is going to be in the works as soon as this show is ended. So that's pretty cool, I didn't know they were doing that. I've heard great things about Peaky Blinders. Let me know if you love the show. Master of None is officially returning with Aziz Ansari for Season 3. That is awesome. I love Master of None. I don't know if you guys have seen the two seasons on Netflix. Aziz Ansari kills it. He's a very strong comedic writer. Or just writer in general. It's got a great storyline. This season is going to be set in Paris. He spoke about the show a lot and how he didn't want to write anything if he didn't feel like he had anything to write. So he's put it on hold for quite a bit. It has to be like 3 or 4 years, but he's finally coming back to the show. Very excited to see what happens in Season 3. Saved by the Bell has been renewed for Season 2. And in the biggest TV news, I think, this week, Batman the Animated Series is set to have a sequel. A continuation, confirms Kevin Smith on his podcast, Fat Man Beyond. I'm so excited about this, guys. Batman the Animated Series is, of course, iconic. I spoke a little bit about how the Batman was my first introduction into the character, and it was my version of what Batman was, but Batman the Animated Series is still something I ended up watching later in life. It's pretty awesome. The Mr. Freeze episode still gets me to this day. I don't know what they're going to do with the sequel. I believe Justice League and Justice League Unlimited are a kind of sequel to the show, so is Superman the Animated Series. I don't know how that's going to connect, or if maybe Batman Beyond is going to connect, because that, in a way, it's a version of a sequel to the series, because it's all Kevin Conroy, but who knows what they're going to do with it. Kevin Smith has said to look out for the sequel. It's definitely happening. Pretty excited about that, guys. And that's all the news I really have for you all this week. Let me know, are you excited for Batman the Animated Series? Are you excited for Peaky Blinders? Ethan Hawke being in Moon Knight? Insecure ending? Matt Damon? Is he going to be Beta Ray Bill? The Wonka sequel? Who do you want in that? Are you excited for Anthony Mackie's Captain America? Or Chris Evans' Captain America possibly coming back? Be sure to let me know. Email me at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at liveactionremake. Now it's on to what I'm currently watching. Right now, I am about 4 seasons in to Black Mirror, a show I have been putting off due to the fact that we are in the middle of a pandemic, and it is very sad stuff and very heavy stuff. And usually I don't like to get too heavy, but I don't know, the past couple of weeks I've been missing y'all. I've been a little bit to myself, so I've decided to get into Black Mirror and really go deeper into the abyss. And I gotta say, I am extremely impressed by this show. I'm sure I'm very late to the party on Black Mirror. I know people love the show, but this is my first time watching it, so I just want to give my take. It really shows how technology can be a problem and the advances of it. I appreciate that some episodes aren't as nihilistic as others. I appreciate that sometimes the show tells you what's good about technology and what could be great about it and the possible side effects of it. I also think Charlie Brooker probably has been cheated on, because cheating comes up too often in the show. But, you know, I still think it's really well written. The actors are great. If you don't know, every episode introduces a new version of technology, something more advanced than what we have today. It's all about new different characters and a small story, a one episode one-off about the dangers of that technology, or how it could be used, or the morality of how we use technology. Very interesting stuff. It's really an eye-opener. I definitely recommend it. All seasons are on Netflix. They have a Christmas special, and they even have a movie where you can decide the fate of the main character. I haven't seen the movie yet. I love the Christmas special. If I had to give you guys my favorite episodes, it would definitely be the USS Callister and White Christmas, which is the Christmas special. If you don't want to check out the whole show, just check out those episodes, because it's not a continuity. It's not like a story one to the other. Every episode is its own story. So you could watch whichever episode you think looks interesting. They have an episode with Anthony Mackie. They have an episode with Hayley Atwell, John Hamm. You know, look for the actors you like if you want to, and then check out an episode. Let me know what you think. Now we're talking the first 3 episodes of WandaVision. I was so excited to talk about the first 2 with you guys last week. Unfortunately, technical difficulties, I couldn't do it. So we're going all 3 this week. So if you haven't seen the last 3 episodes of WandaVision, I'm just going to be vaguely talking about all 3 but I'm not going to do no spoilers. This show definitely needs to be talked about with spoilers, so pause this episode, go watch the 3 episodes of WandaVision. It's only 30 minutes each. They're all very good, in my opinion. And then come back so we can talk about it. Starting in 3, 2, 1. The first thing I got to say about this show is that it's very, very funny. I didn't expect this show to be so good at the sitcom format. Because I think many sitcoms fall because of the format that they use and they get too into it. But the good thing about this show is that it doesn't have to worry about doing 25 or 30 episodes. It's literally doing one or two about each different type of format or an ode to each different type of show, so they can keep the show fresh and funny while also paying homage to those without falling deeper and deeper into patterns, which I love. I didn't expect to laugh as much as I did in these last 3 episodes. Paul Bettany particularly is fantastic. I've spoken quite a lot about how much I like Paul Bettany in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I never thought I would like him doing all of this comedy stuff in a sitcom. I thought it could easily have been very silly, and it is silly, but he is so genuinely good at sitcoms, I didn't expect it at all. I love the little side storyline B-plot where he just has gum in him, and he's like kind of his version of drunk. Oh, that was fantastic. I love that. I know I just praised Paul Bettany for a bit, but I can't talk about the show without talking about Elizabeth Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen clearly has not been given enough to do in the MCU, and I didn't realize it until this show because she has so much range. She goes from comedic to serious to dramatic, all in a matter of minutes, and she is nailing all of them. You see the many faces of Elizabeth Olsen. She deserves an Emmy nom, I think, at the end of this, probably. Just off these 3 episodes alone, I love her. She is the best part of every episode. The costuming, the hairstyle, just how it looks. I love the atmosphere of every episode. You get clear homages to I Love Lucy, to Bewitched, to The Brady Bunch. It's so clearly respectful of all those shows. It's not making fun of them. It's not spoofing them. It's really trying to do the sitcom format, and it's nailing it in every episode. There is this heavy mystery element that I really love because they're just barely touching on it. Because of that, you get to get sucked into the world of WandaVision until they point out to you that this world is not what it seems. I keep forgetting that there is a mystery element until they bring up one moment in every episode. There's always a very tense, scary moment, and I'll touch on all of them in a moment. I'm more and more perplexed every episode and more intrigued, so I think the curtain's coming out a little bit more, and I think next week we'll probably talk about a lot of the reveals. The commercials are particularly interesting, and I think they give you a lot of details that are going to come back. And my overall theory about the commercials are that they are every moment in Wanda's life that was traumatic. Now, the first one was the toaster. As you can see, it's a Stark toaster. I believe that is to represent the bomb that killed her parents, because you see it ticking and it's very quiet and it's very scary. Like, it's got like a little bit of a tense moment. It says 2000, which probably was the year her parents died. I think, like, as far as the age goes, it makes a lot of sense that 2000 would be the year that they died. And it says, like, this is your future now. Like, and I think that means that after that day, her future was just her and her brother. That's how I'm reading that first one. The second one is a Hydra watch, a Strucker watch. Now, I think that second one is set to represent her meeting Strucker. That was very traumatic for her because he kind of pushes her to become what she has become now. And then finally, the Hydra soap, I think, is her way of saying that she was brainwashed into becoming the Scarlet Witch. She drank the Kool-Aid, she became a part of Hydra. That was not her intention, she just wanted to protect her home. So I think the next one will probably have something to do with Quicksilver's death, because that's like the next big trauma in her life, or maybe the loss of Sokovia. But I think every commercial is going to be just a little bit about the inside of Wanda and what's hurting her and what is her trauma. I like them so far. I appreciate the commercials. But that's just my theory. I don't know. Maybe there's going to be more to it. Many people believe that this may be Mephisto, that maybe she made a deal with the devil. That is definitely a possibility. There is a possibility that this is AIM, with all of the hexagons. I've seen those theories, and I've seen the theory that this is Hydra as well because of the Strucker stuff. I think if any of them don't have footing, it's Hydra. I definitely don't think this is Hydra. This has been my theory so far. I'm just going to talk vaguely about what I think is happening. I believe after the events of Endgame, Wanda went into the suburbs in order to no longer be an Avenger and live a simpler life. I think she tried to let it all go. Then she met Agatha Harkness, or you may know her as Agnes, her nosy neighbor. I think Catherine Hahn is Agatha Harkness. I've been saying this for quite a bit of time. And I think Agatha taught her to control her abilities enough to warp reality around her. So what did Wanda decide to do with that? Wanda decided to bring Vision back. And she created a bubble around her home and made it a sitcom format. I think that was her whole point, was just to make a small bubble for herself where she can live happily with Vision. Unbeknownst to her, the bubble began to grow, and it grew around the community, and now people are trapped. They can't escape. They can't exist the way normal people do. They exist in the sitcom format, and the bubble is only growing bigger. As you can see, at the end of the third episode, when Wanda hurls Geraldine, aka Monica Rambeau, we see that Westview is a real place. It's not a Truman Show kind of like made up place. It's not a dream in her head. This is a place you can go to. I think Wanda corrupted this suburb, and now S.W.O.R.D. is coming around it and building stuff around it, trying to enter in the Beehive, in Monica Rambeau trying to get in with a helicopter. I think the radio, that's all S.W.O.R.D. trying to get into this bubble and trying to figure out who's doing this to Wanda. But really, Wanda has been doing this to the community, and Wanda is now this whole problem that they need to figure out. I think Wanda's this puppet master. It seems for a while that she is in no control over this world, and maybe that, you know, she's trapped in here, but I think the parts where the illusion is starting to break, that's when you see her take control. When Mr. Hart starts to break the illusion and starts to tell her, like, when did you get married? When did all this stuff happen? She chokes him. I think she choked him with the food in order to shut him up. I think when S.W.O.R.D. tried to radio in, she broke the radio. She busted it up. That wasn't a malfunction. It was her. I think S.W.O.R.D. broke in and she rewound reality because she didn't like that. And then when Geraldine did not belong, and when she brought up Pietro and her trauma, she threw her out. Wanda seems to be in complete control. Now, the only argument to this is that Wanda had no control in the third episode when all the magic was going wrong. My response to that is one of her twins has her abilities. So she wasn't controlling that. Her child was. This child that she created with her abilities. Side note, if you didn't know, her children are Speed and Wiccan, both different super beings who are young Avengers. So Speed is going to be a lot like Quicksilver, who I think will be played by Evan Peters. Speed will be played by Evan Peters, in my opinion. And Wiccan will be a lot more like Scarlet Witch. I don't know who's going to play him, but they're coming. And so that's the reason why she had no control in that third episode. But in every other episode, she's had complete control over her abilities and the world around her. Wanda is the villain. I think Wanda has made this bubble around this community. She's a puppet master. She has made the life that she wants. Agatha Harkness is just around for the ride. Vision's not real, but he believes he's real because Wanda created him so perfectly because she remembered him. And I think Vision is going to have to stop Wanda. When he does that, he'll have to destroy himself. That is my theory. I don't know if it's true, but we'll see what happens. I'm so excited for episode 4. Overall, I think my favorite episodes are 3 and 1. I think 2 was a little bit of a filler episode, but it still had some good moments. 3 was probably my favorite. I rewatched every episode twice, and I think 3 is definitely my favorite. It had the most fun. The children and the song, you know, I Was a Twin, that was such a sad moment, and I think Elizabeth Olsen nails it. But overall, I love these first 3 episodes. I'm so excited for more. Let me know what you guys think. You guys have any theories about what's happening with Wanda? Do you think that it's Mephisto or AIM or Hydra, or maybe it's not Agatha Harkness? Maybe it's another completely different villain. Let me know what you think. Email me at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. Finally, I want to leave y'all with a recommendation. I saw a very fun movie on HBO Max called The King of Staten Island. It is semi-autobiographical. It's about Pete Davidson's life and how he has dealt with the passing of his father, who died in 9/11. In this version, his father did not die in 9/11, but he was a firefighter in both versions. It's a little bit about his life. It's written by him. It's very funny, Pete Davidson. I think you're going to see more and more of him in film and in TV. He's a great actor. Bill Burr is in the movie as well. Marissa Tomei, both doing great performances. It's very, very funny, very goofy, and it kind of pulls at the heartstrings, you know? I love a movie that can do all those things. Go check it out. It's on HBO Max. I was going to say for free, but I guess you need a trial to do that. But definitely check it out. It's a very good movie. I've been recommending it to just about everybody. And that's all I really have for you guys this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, feel free to check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Live Action Remake. You can also follow us on Twitter at Action Remake Pod. And you can email us again at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to ask your questions, make any recommendations, tell me about any of your theories. I'd love to hear from y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to wear a mask, stay safe, do what you love. Oh, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. I'd love it if you left a review, or if you recommended the show to somebody, I would love that as well. Thank you so much for listening. I'm signing out. Y'all have a good one.